superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
I want to wish you a happy new year. A happy new year.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Brady looking, throws toward the end zone, receiver, but caught ball, touchdown, Tampa Bay.
He's either going to use speed and just go around a guy.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger.
That's Ben Roethlisberger just being Superman. You don't get him to the ground.
Coming up, Tampa Bay Bucks writer Rick Stroud. Your phone calls, complete NFL playoff possibilities, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman and Mike Del Tufo.
Hey, Rich.
TJ Jefferson, good to see you, sir.
Hey, nowhere else I'd rather be, to be honest.
Okay, very good. I appreciate you saying that. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Mike, what did you do for New Year's? I haven't asked you that question just yet.
What'd you do? Mixing a pay-per-view fight on Fox and pay-per-view.
Oh, is that
first
right?
Time. Broke new ground. That was actually cool.
Brockman, how did you ring in the New Year?
Oh, man, I was in bed at 10 o'clock.
Are you serious? Yeah. Welcome to having a child.
Yeah, I mean, Sarah had a set at the Comedy Store that night on the big New Year's Eve list, and I was, like, tapping out. But I watched whatever movie was on TV. I didn't even mess with the shows, and I just, like, I'm out of this.
Pretty much. What about you, TJ Jefferson? What about you?
On the couch watching Seacrest or Miley and Pete or whoever was on.
I heard Miley and Pete was... was a show, man.
It was interesting. Yeah.
I was watching my favorite team in football team and all the sports get beat by Georgia. And
I was doing that as well.
You guys stayed away from me. I didn't get any text.
Because I'm not like, nothing. I personally am not like, I'm not going to like hit you up about that. So,
did you want something?
Oh, I don't know. I just appreciate you staying away because it wasn't a good night.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So I knew better than to just like,
sorry,
you know, try to like,
power
sorry. Hey, sorry, but I don't mean that.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Joining us here at the top of hour number three on the Rich Eisen Show. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll take all your phone calls before the end of this third and final hour of this first show of 2022. Joining us on the Mercedes-Benz Vance phone line is a man who's been covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers forever and a day for the Tampa Bay Times. Back here on the program is Rick Stroud. How are you, Rick?
Hey, Rich, never a dull moment. How are you doing?
I know that, right? So best you can tell, what happened on that sideline at MetLife yesterday with the Bucs and Brown?
Well, I mean, I've sort of tried to piece it together as best I can. I don't know exactly what the conversation that, you know, Bruce Arians and Antonio Brown had on the sideline. I can tell you that Arians was asking him what was wrong. You know, is something wrong with you? And I don't know what Antonio Brown's response was. We know that it wasn't an injury, according to Bruce Arians. They obviously have a process for that where you go to a trainer, and the trainer will tell the coach if you're out. You know, and the next thing Bruce says, because they were in the middle of a drive, you know, he saw Antonio walking, you know, half naked through the end zone. So, you know, in Arians' mind, he quit the team. Now, he's not being very forthcoming. Obviously, there was some flashpoint. And maybe Bruce is unaware of exactly what set Antonio off. But, you know, we saw Mike Evans come over, obviously, and try to talk him into not doing what he was doing. And, you know, as soon as he decided to quit, you know, I mean, that can be interpreted as conduct detrimental, whatever. And we don't know if they're going to release him today or what list he might wind up on, but his Bucs career is through, and it's still, you know, there's still obviously a side that Brown has not told yet, I suppose, but, you know, we'll see what he has to say, if he has anything to say at all.
Well, so lots of questions, because based on Brady's response to it, and, you know, calling for compassion, and also a call for Brown getting the help that he needs, along with the reaction that Brown had, whatever the blow up was, on a sideline for a team that kept him despite the fake vaccination card that he handed in a story that you broke a few weeks ago, means there had to have been something going on behind the scenes. There had to have been something that we don't know about. Is there any sense that you can give us about what that something may be?
Well, I think in general, and this is a generalization, but, you know, ever since this thing happened with the suspension, I don't think Antonio, since he returned, felt the same relationship or closeness with the organization for whatever reason. Okay. Maybe that was because, and I don't know that the Bucks are at fault here. I don't know how to quantify that, because that's Antonio's perception. But he definitely had a streak to him. We talked to him after the game, you know, when he had the 10 catches for 101 yards at Carolina, his first game back. And he was paranoid. You know, he was sort of accusatory. I don't know who he was directing it at, the media. He said people were trying to frame him. You know, they talked about drama and all this sort of thing. But there was a general sense, I think, among the team that he believed that something had changed, right? That they, you know, he had the suspension. I don't know what he expected the Bucks to do about it. He got three games, not six, not eight. He continued to work out and rehab his ankle at the facility. But, you know, this guy, I mean, sort of a time bomb, Rich. I mean, he's done this to every place he's ever been. I don't know what his issues are. You know, before he joined this team, it was, you know, anger management and Tony Robbins and I'm a change, you know, all this stuff. I think Tom Brady really wanted him. I think Tom really cares about him. I think that's why Tom said what he said. I don't know if Tom has any particular reasons to be worried about AB in the short term, but yeah, it's just, you know, I guess it was inevitable, but I do think that Brown, according to some people I've talked to, you know, just felt like, you know, things had changed when he got back from his suspension.
Things had changed. I mean, they kept him, you know, and then they used him, and then they employed him, and they kept him employed, and they, I mean, 100 yards receiving in an NFL game is no small feat, and he keeps doing it, and that's, I don't understand, you know, which is why leads me to believe that he might not be able to control this. And so, you know, and then you see him that he, with his bag, and he's waiting for a driver who becomes famous because, you know, they post it out there, and he doesn't seem to care that he has a Hall of Fame career in front of him and can live out his days as a Hall of Fame athlete, as opposed to some guy who reacts in a manner that makes other people famous for 15 minutes. It just makes no sense to me, Rick. You know, nothing on that.
Yeah, I think you'd probably need a lot of time and more degrees than I have, or you, Rich, to try to figure out, you know, what causes Antonio Brown, you know, to react the way he has. You know, he's an absolute talent. You know, I think the Bucks, I think sometimes too, you know, these teams see the talent and they really want it, right? And obviously Brady did. And again, I'm not doubting Brady's, you know, sort of affinity for Antonio Brown for however short or long he was with him in New England. But I don't, Tom cares about teammates. You know, I think he feels he's in a position to help people. And at this stage of his career, that's what he wants to do. I think he tried to help Antonio. But in the meantime, you know, Tom's about winning. And he absolutely knew Antonio Brown would help him, and did, you know. And he caught one of the touchdowns in the Super Bowl. And, you know, he put a ring on his finger, and so that's important. There's a trade-off there, right? And I think, in my mind, Bruce Arians absolutely would not have entertained the idea of Antonio Brown. 6 months earlier, he told us it was too much diva. He didn't want any part of him, if not for Tom Brady. And, you know, took him into his house, the whole thing. I mean, look, Brady has rewarded the Bucs and everybody with the Bucs, you know, for pulling off what was a remarkable, you know, Super Bowl run. So the fact that they re-signed him again, it was kind of a surprise because there's more legal trouble and entanglements in the offseason. He was the last guy they brought in here. They waited until 2 weeks and the waters had calmed down after he settled with his trainer. Trouble is never that far away from Antonio Brown, and it found him again. They took some shots for standing by the guy, Bruce in particular, and it came back to bite him. And, you know, why are any of us surprised? I don't know his issues. You know, he seems very selfish to me at times. He certainly, you know, he didn't help Tom Brady. Here's Brady sticking his neck out for him, and they're trailing in a game by 14. He decides he don't want to play. I don't think that's how you reward somebody that has gone to bat for you, you know.
Rick Stroud, Tampa Bay Times here on the Rich Eisen Show. Anything to the incentives? Anything about that?
No, because, you know, listen, he was very close to making $1 million. You know, a couple catches here, a touchdown there. I mean, a year ago, they ran with Ronald Jones needing about 21 yards to get 1,000. They ran at the end of the final game of the regular season two or three pop passes. You know what those are. You just go in motion, essentially a glorified frontal handoff, but in the air, which counts as a reception. They ran two or three of those to get him $250,000 at the end of a game. I can't believe for a second that you're going to do that as an organization and then, you know, say, well, we don't want him. We're not going to play him as much because we don't want him to make $1 million. Nah, that clearly wasn't the case. And anybody that suggests that is kind of reaching. That much I can assure you. Why he would leave that money off on the table, though, is surprising, although he hasn't been very smart, you know, getting fined. I mean, I think it cost him close to $300,000 for the fake vaccination card issue. So, you know, $10,000 to a chef that he settled with before he came back. I mean, you know, all these things sort of build up. There's always this sort of explosion point. You can kind of see the warning signs and then it happens. And, you know, it's like I think I said this to you when we were texting last night. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite phrases is that, you know, you can lay down on hay and you may get 8 hours sleep, but you're going to wake up scratching, you know, and I think the Bucks are itching pretty good today.
So moving forward, Rick, I mean, the bottom line is the two of Tom Brady's best wide receivers that will not be available to him. Fournette is banged up. Levante David, how do things look for a Bucs team that is definitely going to have to play a home playoff game in less than 2 weeks, unless they play that Monday night or it's 2 weeks from tonight? What do you have for me on their readiness for the title defense when the rubber meets the playoff road?
Yeah, I got nothing but more clouds. I mean, Ronald Jones has an ankle they're doing an MRI on. Keyshawn Vaughn has some rib damage, but he thinks he might be able to go. They're hoping Giovanni Bernard comes back from IR. I mean, this thing is dark and gloomy when it comes to weapons, but, you know, Tom Brady does more with less and has in his past. And you know, Mike Evans was out there. He was playing. He made some plays. Cyril Grayson has come out of nowhere, LSU track star, and is suddenly looks like a Pro Bowl receiver. Breshad Perriman's made a lot of plays in this league. You still got Gronk. You still got O.J. Howard. You still got Cam Brate. They're not going to just go in the fetal position, I can tell you that. And, you know, defensively, they got to get Levante back, which they think they will. They need Shaq Barrett, obviously. But, you know, the secondary is fairly healthy. So they'll make their run. I mean, you know, you've got the GOAT. If they win another game, Rich, and if the Rams lose to San Francisco, who's playing to get in the playoffs, all of a sudden the Bucs have the 2 seed and 2 home games, and they'll roll the dice if they got to go to Green Bay again. And I think that's the best-case scenario, and I wouldn't count them out, man. I didn't think they were going to go 93 yards against the Jets, you know, and score with 15 seconds either yesterday.
I know. That's the Jets, Rick, and that's the number 12 in that building against the Jets. So, come on, man. I mean, I could have told you that. You could have texted me in the middle of that moment. I'm like, the minute that the Jets went on fourth and two and wound up sneaking it, apparently that was an audible that it was supposed to go to Berrios on on one of those jet sweeps, and instead Zach Wilson went. I mean, I could have told you that. But what about Shaq Barrett and Lavonte David? I mean, and Fournette. What about those three guys in particular?
Well, I think they're optimistic they'll get them back in some capacity. I think Lavonte will be okay. Shaq, I'm not sure about. Although it's not an injury that necessarily would prevent him from playing some in the playoffs. The question is, what, just because you're out there doesn't mean you're effective, right? Like, okay, he's out there, but is he able to be Shaq Barrett, or is he able to be Lavonte David? So these guys, all got bites out of them. Obviously Fournette did with his hamstring. Evans has battled these throughout his career, so he knows, how to come back from them. His wasn't as severe. They'll line up. They'll all play. It's a second season, as Rich. And, to have a home game, these guys have been really good at home. They'll figure it out. It's been a lot of adversity this year with the injuries. That's the only difference between the two seasons. They've actually been better overall, this year, I think. I mean, they're going to win. They beat Carolina. They'll win 13 games, first time in franchise history. Back-to-back 12-plus win seasons. Brady having another. I mean, there's a lot of good that has happened, even though, this thing with the Jets didn't look good. But I would never count them out. I swear to you I wouldn't. I could put holes in every team in the NFC and show you where they're vulnerable to. So we'll see. We'll see who they have. That's going to be the key.
Talk about things that you can't make up, right? Is that maybe it's going to be Le'Veon Bell, who Tom Brady leans on because Brown is gone. You can't make this stuff up in the NFL. So last one for you is, what do you think Bruce Arians is thinking about tonight when he pours himself a couple fingers deep? What do you think? What are you thinking
about? Well, maybe
this
afternoon. I don't know if he's going to wait.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. I know that. So what do you think? What do you think he's thinking?
You know what he's thinking? Is one thought, Rich. And he said it after the game. I've got Tom Brady. I've got Tom freaking Brady. Mm-hmm. Anything's possible, man. He's won 7. He's been to 10. That's a heck of a place to start. You gotta slay the monster. Somebody's gotta go out there and take it from him. I mean, he's unbelievable, and that's just like yesterday, and you say, well, the Jets and all, I get that. You know what? He had Tom Brady, so everybody on that team and in that organization, they believe they're going to do it. They will find a way because of number 12. That's all he's thinking about right now.
Rick Stroud, thanks for the time. Let's do it again. Happy New Year to you and yours. Appreciate it.
Take care, Rich. Happy New Year.
You bet. That's Rick Stroud at NFL Stroud on Twitter. That's what he's thinking about. I've got Tom freaking Brady, and that's not a bad thought to have. Yeah, helps, and you know what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Tom's already said his piece about Antonio Brown. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's gone to work, and I'm sure that's it. That's gone. And he'll, reach out to Antonio how he sees fit if he thinks that he needs to be helped, and that's it. That's it. Compartmentalized. Let's talk about the Carolina Panthers. We've moved on to Carolina. It's unfortunate that he's not going to be with us, but that's it. They'll ask him again in his press availability on Wednesday. And so if Tampa wins and the Rams lose, entirely possible. They're the 2 seed, and they get 2 home games, and the 2 home games could be, what, Philadelphia? And then who? Dallas? Right? Could be Philadelphia and then Arizona? Could be Philadelphia and then the Rams?
Beat all those teams.
Winnable games there in that stadium, and then they get their one shot at Green Bay, unless somebody, one of the aforementioned teams, actually goes into Green Bay and one and duns Aaron Rodgers and sends that whole thing into, a Gouda Kunstland. So exciting.
The playoffs are going to be nuts.
It's all beginning to come into focus. We'll take a break, empty the phone banks. Myles Garrett, I chatted with him. He had something interesting to say about the opportunity in front of the Browns tonight to wrap up Big Ben's career in front of his home fans. That's coming up next. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least The partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We just had a great chat with a fan from Cincinnati.
Raymond. And now we know Cincy's Mount Rushmore.
That was fun. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Al in Atlanta will take your phone call. What's up, Al?
Morning, Rich.
How you doing, Al?
Good. Good. Doing well, too well. Happy New Year, everyone.
Same to you,
Al.
Yeah. It was a
Al, before you start, I don't like the tone of your voice. I'll be honest with you.
I don't quite like the higher register.
I don't like the whole.
You don't
thing.
Like where this is going, Rich?
I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Al,
but
I feel you. Keep talking. Go.
What's on your mind, Al? I think I know, but what's on your
okay,
mind?
Okay, I know. I mean, I was just saying, I had a great New Year's Eve, great New Year's Day, and I feel like it was a little painful for you. So, with all due respect, I feel like I want to allow you to use your celebrity to save a little humility.
Which is what? I don't know what that means. Like, what?
You don't got to do the last line of the Call of the Dogs. You can just hook a brother up with a nice coffee mug.
I didn't. Did I wager with him?
I feel like you might have had a bet with Al.
Did I?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Little one. It wasn't a hard one. I gave you odds. I gave you just the last line, and I had to learn the whole song. So.
Oh, yeah.
He wants a DMX impression.
Yeah, the stakes
right
are
now.
Very even. They're very, very even. All right. What's the last line? What am I going to say?
No. I'm giving you a chance to not even have to say it.
What about? No, it's
he
okay.
He just wants a mug.
He wants a mug?
I want the mug.
All right. Hang on. Adam will take your address. How does that sound?
Yeah, sounds great.
All right, Al. Thanks for the call. It's Al in Atlanta. I didn't like that.
You knew where that was going instantaneously.
Let me repeat for everyone in the back. Everyone in the back, I mean the rest of the Big Ten. They're in the back.
Back of the line.
Okay? All right? In the back. I wouldn't have changed a thing. If you had told me when I came in the day after we beat Ohio State, and then if you had told me the day after Ohio State became a basketball school beating Duke, if you had told me the day after Brian Kelly confirmed that Notre Dame was a stepping stone job, if you had told me after Michigan State, okay, made the Peach Bowl and the quarterback of the team that they were winning against saying, yeah, this, there's too much at stake for my future to play against you, Michigan State. If you had told me after we beat Iowa in the Big Ten, hey, Rich, it's going to be an ugly night against Georgia, Would you have changed anything? Do you really want a piece of Georgia? My answer would have been yes. Every of the million times you asked me.
Thank you, sir.
You didn't want a piece, Rich. You want the whole thing.
If you had told me this is all going to wind up, I always go back to pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have seen The Shining, right?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert, Scatman Crothers, God bless him. He had The Shining. He was able to connect with Danny, okay? The boy who was in the Overlook Hotel with his father going insane. He was able to connect with Danny, and he knew that Danny needed help, that Danny, something was going on. Danny he had to get to the Overlook Hotel. He connected with him sitting there all the way in his spot in Florida, and he got on a plane, and he flew all the way across the country, like, and then he got in a snow cat, and he went all the way up to the hotel, and he finally got in the hotel, and he was going to go speak to Danny. He was going to go save Danny. And as soon as he got there, boom, an axe right in the chest.
Yep. It was the wrong move.
Scott. The Orange Bowl was my axe in the chest. And the entire journey getting to that spot, here's Johnny. Axe right in the chest. I would have taken that entire time if I was able to shine with the future and see what was happening in the Orange Bowl. I would have taken it every single time. For the fact that my team did what it did all the way up to getting the axe in the chest. Fine with me. I wouldn't have changed a thing. Oh, yeah, no, I don't want to beat Ohio State. I don't want to do that. No, I don't want to beat Ohio State with their Heisman Trophy candidate quarterback. I don't want to beat Ohio State with all three of their receivers, two of them who tapped out of the Rose Bowl. I don't want any part of that. I don't want to do that and then watch Ohio State actually win the Rose Bowl. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that after watching Wisconsin then win the Las Vegas Bowl. I don't want to do that. I don't want to watch any of that stuff because my team might actually lose big time on the whole stage. I don't want any part of that. I say to you, no way. I'll take it every time. Obviously, I'd rather beat Georgia in that manner and then go beat Alabama and win it all. Not the case right now.
I know you feel rich.
So I'm come for me all you want. Tweet at me all you want. Troll on me all you want. Every single one of the Big Ten teams can troll on me all you want. It, first of all, proves that you really weren't rooting for the conference when it all matters, that you actually have nothing but delight in watching the result that took place.
So, why should they root for you?
Because I would root for them, and they all tell me that. How many times have you heard Brees say, I root for the
rival,
conference?
But if you're the rival, I don't want you to win.
But you're rooting for the conference against the SEC where it just means more.
I don't know, man.
I kind of agree with you, Rich, because like...
They all say that. Every single Big Ten friend of mine will look me in the face and go, I'll root for the conference anytime against the SEC.
Well, Brockman, you know, I dislike the NFC East very much, but when all those Super Bowls, when the Giants were in or the Washington team...
You rooted for them?
I can't say that I rooted for them, but I saw the bigger picture like, all right, well, at least our conference gets another Super Bowl.
I would never root for the Yankees to win the World Series. Ever.
I think it's different professional sports and collegiate sports.
You do?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. I do.
But some people, the collegiate is their
profession. Oh, the whole idea is you root for the conference when your team's out. That's the whole idea. That's all I heard about in college. That's all I heard about from everybody else. That's what you hear from Breer all the time. And then he tweets out, if I was like, something like I'd rather be on third base than show up and look like this or something like that, you know, in reference to the Harbaugh comment after beating Ohio State, saying that Ryan Day was born on third, or insinuating that he was born on third, thought he had a triple. And I tweeted back at Albert. I'm like, I don't understand this reference. You finished in second. Not third. You should be on second base, right? Because you finished in second. Honestly, I don't want to hear any of it. But I'm hearing it. Not a lot of fun that night. So Al in Atlanta can have his mug.
That's where we're going with all this.
Tonight's game, big Monday night football game tonight. The Steelers have an opportunity to make the playoffs.
Still alive.
But standing right in front of them is the team that ended their playoff run last year. I chatted with Myles Garrett last Friday before the Browns were eliminated by results that took place this week. Yesterday that eliminated them. The Bengals winning the division obviously closed off that route to the playoffs for them. And then the wild card was closed off on them when the Chargers won. So that's the end of that. And then the Raiders won. That was the end of that. Two teams that they lost to. When the Raiders and Chargers won, that was the end of that. Browns are out of the playoffs. After making it last year and everybody thought they could go where they needed to go this year, take a step forward, they took a step back. Before all that, I asked Myles Garrett about ending Big Ben's Steelers home career. And this is what he had to say.
Did I hear you say that you're looking forward to making sure this is Ben Roethlisberger's last game at Heinz Field? Did I overhear you say something like that this week, Myles Garrett?
I don't think I said it, but I sure I saw it, and I didn't think it was a bad quote, you know, hearing it.
No, but I just want to make sure I did hear that, that is your intention, correct?
Of course. I mean, I didn't say it, but that is my intention.
You did not say it. So how did How did that get ascribed to you? I don't understand.
I'm not sure. At least I don't recall saying. I don't think I talked to anybody who would put that out. But
okay,
I don't disagree. I would love for this to be his last home game, and we can send him off with the L. That'd be perfect.
See, so you did say right here, I guess, in this conversation.
I love it. I love it.
I kind of like Myles Garrett.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we also talked, and you could check out the full conversation on our YouTube page, talked about his graveyard, you know, that he had for Halloween and how Bruce Smith, he wants to be an all-time great. He watches how he gets psyched up for games. He says he gets psyched up for games. He watches YouTube videos of all-time greats that he wants to be like, Lawrence Taylor, Bruce Smith.
Nice.
That's what he does. Then I asked him about what was going on with this season and if Baker Mayfield gets a bad rap.
What's your front row seat to watching Baker Mayfield work? Tell me something that about him that folks might not know, Myles Garrett, for you.
He puts it all on himself. I don't know that some people really see that. You know, whether it's a end of a drive or, you know, wide receiver slipping, you know, whatever happens, he's usually thinking that, you know, he could have done something better right there. Whether he got 3 points, he could have got six, and he has to find a way to get better, whether it's on a certain play, drive, or during the game. You know, he's very cerebral in the fact that he wants to be better, and how he's trying to like work through this. You know, almost every time he turns the page, but he's like, well, how can we make this next one better? How can I improve?
Does he get a bad rap, do you think?
I think so. He gets a bad rap. I mean, at the end of the day, no. Sometimes we have lulls. I'm in a slump right now. I haven't had a sack in two games. And, I mean, he had a bad game last game. At the end of the day, he could turn around and have four touchdowns. And that's sometimes the name of the game. You just got to be able to bounce back.
Now the team's going to have to bounce back from being eliminated. They're taking on the Steelers to try and wrap them up, and then the Bengals. That's a big game for Cincinnati, too, don't you think?
Yeah.
That's a big game for Cincinnati as well, because if you look at the AFC standings, you know, it is possible that Cincinnati could wind up being your two seed. Okay? If they win and the Chiefs lose in Denver.
Right. Tiebreaker.
Or, you know, the Bills are taking on the Jets. If they lose that, they wind up as the four seed. I don't know if I'd want to face the New England Patriots in my first playoff game. I mean, it's tough to win in your first playoff game. And here comes Bill and Mac Jones. Mac versus Joey. The possibilities are amazing. But I'm curious to see how the Browns respond tonight, having been eliminated, and then next week too, and how Baker can try and plant the flag on two teams as they go out the door of the season that was a patent disappointment, just a total disappointment.
Baker's got a lot to play for personally.
I think so too.
I mean, he's trying to ink up and lock in a long-term deal there.
How about Myles Garrett saying he's in a slump? He hasn't had a sack in two games.
I think for him, that's considered a slump, right?
That's a slump for him. I can't wait to see what the Browns look like tonight, because what a season it was. I mean, they started out in a game. I mean, let's just do this real quick. Because I kind of want to sum up the Browns season. We all know they start that game in Kansas City and they're up and then lose late against the Chiefs team that we know, if you wanted to get them while they get this good first 7 weeks, Browns had them and couldn't finish it off. Then there was that home game against the Texans. Remember that Davis Mills came in and made a game of it? Mm-hmm. Then they play the Chicago Bears, and that, as we know, no slump for Myles Garrett. I think he had half of his sacks in that game of Justin Fields. They go to Minnesota, and they can't put points on the board. They play the Chargers. All they could do was put points on the board, but they couldn't stop the Chargers from putting points on the board. Mm-hmm. They play the Arizona Cardinals at home, and that was a dreadful day as well. 37-14. They just get spanked. They play the Cardinals at the wrong time, but they also didn't have many answers. Then comes that game against Denver where, you know, Baker Mayfield is hurt because J.J. Watt knocked him out of that game. It was the Case Keenum might be better conversation. That was what we were going through all that, where I'm like, are you kidding me? And I made you, Brockman, read out every name from Spurgeon Wynn to Tim Couch to everything, saying, is that where you want to go back?
Right.
Then Baker comes back. They lose to the Steelers. And we're all wondering, what the hell's going on with them? They wax the eventual AFC North champion Bengals. And that was their path to the playoffs. That was their best path to the playoffs, which was to finish up strong and then sweep the Bengals and maybe put that wild card, that tiebreaker card on the table. Problem is, they could not beat the Patriots if their life depended on it in that Week 10 game. They barely beat Detroit.
Right.
They lose to Baltimore, have a bye week, come back, beat Baltimore, and then COVID hits. The game gets pushed, but not in time for Baker Mayfield to come back. They lose to Vegas, even though big Nick Mullins gave them the lead late. They lost with the defense as a whole slumped at the end of that game where Derek Carr pulled that out of his you-know-what, followed up by the game that you heard Myles Garrett just say was a bad game for Baker, 4 interceptions against Green Bay. And they're eliminated with 2 to play. What a... their coach got knocked out due to COVID. All sorts of injuries. The defense looked weird in the first couple months of the season. By weird, I mean just inconsistent and poor. The whole Odell can't play for us anymore. What a catch he had to save the bacon for the Rams yesterday, mm-hmm, with his fingertips on a 4th down grab that followed up with a touchdown grab for the Rams. Why didn't that happen? Cleveland. Is it Baker? Is it Stefanski? Well, these are all questions that are going to be answered, and it would behoove them to finish up strong. It'd be much better. What a season for the Browns. Step back, unfortunately. But they could finish up by sending Big Ben out in front of the terrible towel-waving fans wanting to say farewell to him. And they could send him out by quieting him down. And then beat the Bengals just to say we should have won this division anyway. It's possible.
Possible.
Can't wait to watch it.
Possible. It's going to be fun.
All right, your phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial when we come back here on the program.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We're live here in Los Angeles, back on the Rich Eisen Show. Mercedes-Benz Vans wants you to know it's maybe a new year and it's a perfect time to start thinking about the dream you might have forgotten about. It's time for you to understand that there is maybe more to life than you just sitting around forgetting about your dream. It's time for you to get reacquainted to maybe living the van life in a fully customized, totally customized Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. You could live that van life. You could go on vacation. You could tour every national park site. You could see your friends. You could see your family. Or maybe more, most importantly, certainly in this new year, start up your own business. It's really whatever you dream up, because the Mercedes-Benz van we're talking about includes you innovative safety features like crosswind assist and blind spot assist. You could expect amazing performance and reliability with an MBUX voice command system, a five-star dealer network, and an available gas engine. It runs like a dream. So what do you say? Head to the Mercedes-Benz van dealership and get that Sprinter. Tell them your dream sent you. We just had our friend Ben from Mississippi call up. I didn't see the full Georgia-Alabama SEC championship game. Why can't Georgia beat Alabama with the team that just waxed my alma mater? Why can't that happen? Just past history?
Stetson Ben didn't play well in the SEC championship. And, Alabama was really able to kind of exploit the back end of that Georgia defense. Kind of rendered the front seven, which is so good for them, kind of out of the game.
I don't know, man. I'll give you more of a chance. I'm just saying. But then again, maybe I covet what I see, to use the
Georgia's favorite of the game. Do you think they should be favored against Alabama?
I don't know. Alabama didn't put that bang thing on Cincinnati in the same way that Georgia did to my alma mater.
That's true.
You know, Cincinnati had right at the end of the half the ability to score and then get the ball back on the other side of halftime. And they went three and out, and Alabama scored. Yep. Michigan had that opportunity, and Georgia scored twice more.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Let's go to Jeff in West Virginia. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Happy New Year.
Hey, Jeff.
And, I'd just like to go back to early in the show. I totally support your statement on the opt-in and opt-out for players, mm-hmm. and I support the transfer portal as well. I mean, so much mega money in college athletics nowadays. It's great to see the players getting a chance, and I'm from on the Ohio border, so I spent a lot of time in Athens, Ohio. I can't say that I actually got to see Joe Burrow play, but I did get to see Big Ben play there several times with when he was coming to OU with Miami of Ohio. So, guys, have a good one. Thanks.
Right back at you. Good, right back at you. What college football just needs to do is get more of a structure, okay? Like, again, coaches can't leave in a certain time until something's over.
Any deadlines.
Okay. And, well, I mean, like windows.
Right.
In the same way, like you push back the signing period to when the bowl games are over. Okay. You give like a month period once all the bowl games are over to go and recruit for everybody. And that's when coaches can change spots. Like you can't just have a situation where somebody leaves before a season's over. You know?
Yeah,
like that doesn't happen in the NFL. Like you have windows in the NFL. You should just put those in college football, and I think it would be a lot better.
I did find myself rooting for Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman just because
I like him.
I do too, and he's thrown into this situation, and he's got a coach in the bowl game. So I found myself like wanting him to succeed, but it is a tough spot to be in.
So I want to thank today's guests, Rick Stroud and Big Ben Roethlisberger and Miles Garrett today. I want to end the show today by talking about John Madden. And it's something that just hit me in the gut that someone so full of life no longer is alive. It just really shakes you. He lived a life in full, age 85. There's no doubt about it. And his career and life is remarkable. Again, a guy who, you know, tried to play football, couldn't break through, tries coaching. He's a young guy on a staff of a franchise run by Al Davis out there in California, the Raiders. He gets an opportunity at age 32. 32. Imagine. I mean, 32 is young now. Could you imagine what was back then? And he had a 10-year career that, you know, burnt him out, gave all he could. And that 10-year career, he did so much within it, that got him in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Peter King had an incredible nugget. He retired at the age of 42 from coaching and wound up as a Hall of Fame head coach. Bill Parcells wound up as a Hall of Fame head coach. His first game as a head coach was at age 42. And at age 42, Madden decides to try something else in broadcasting. And folks, we all love listening to Romo and his freewheeling style. And you hear, you know, all other announcers and you watch them draw on the screen. He was the first to do that. Madden was the first to draw on a screen and have a telestrator and show X's and O's for you at home. He was the first to hold meetings with coaches and players before broadcasts. Mm-hmm. So he wanted to know what you think and what a player's thinking so he could then use it on the air for his audience. Everybody does that now. And he speaks and he spoke in such plain English that he was a smart man for a cerebral sport who loved the physical nature of it and spoke in such plain English that he made everyone understand it and want to hang with him. I first became aware of John Madden. I was too young to really watch the Raiders play football back in the day and know him. I got to know him as that coach who was on all those beer commercials. And he would go, boom, you know, he would burst through, you know, the end at the Miller Lite commercials. And him, he was the biggest personality in a commercial spots with tons of huge personalities. Rodney Dangerfield, Bubba Smith, Dick Butkus, Billy Martin, Mickey Spillane, Boog Powell. And then my kids know him as the video game guy. So my kids know him. I know him. His generation knows him. Him with Summerall and then him with Al and then him with us. You know, he's one of those people that you felt you knew him because you knew the guy that you saw on the screen and you heard on your screen was not at all a put on or filter. He was genuine, a genuine article. Loved the sport. Coaches reached out to him. He reached out to the coach. The commissioner used him as a sounding board for player safety for years. A giant for who will never be replicated. Never. Never. Yeah. A genuine article, and I got to meet him and know him, and I was an honor that I hosted the press conference where he was announced as a Pro Football Hall of Famer, and I'll never forget his speech where he talked about the busts in the room in Canton who talked to each other at night, and he says, we're going to talk about whoever, whatever, forever. And that was his way of talking. I get goosebumps even remembering. It's like poetry that was out of his mouth, like plain English Shakespeare. You know? Rest in peace, John Madden, sir. Rest in peace. And thank you for everything.